Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap. How's everybody doing? It is Thursday, August 9th. Hope everyone is having a good day. If you are new to the Daily Tap, it is a 20 minutes or less sports podcast, mostly focused on the state of Wisconsin and what's happening in the state. Sometimes we do go off beaten path, talking national topics or talking about pop culture, anything interesting in there. So if this is your first time listening, if this is the second or third time, just want to let you know that that is what we are about. Also, too, we have a website, SnowTapWI. That is where you can find Daily Tap and Tapping the Keg, our other podcast that's available at all. Most every day. We're a little late today. Not common. Usually we have these podcasts up by about 8:30. A little late today for a variety of reasons. So not a huge deal there, but it is the exception, not the expectation, if you will. So we have a great show today. We're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers' comments to the Ringer. We are going to then discuss why people care about Brett Favre 10 years later. Is it just for clicks? And then we're going to focus a little bit on the Brewers and what they did last night and, you know, night and day and just sort of this power sort of surge from the new look Brewers. All right. Before we do, I do want to let you know that we are sponsored by SnowTap Gaming. SnowTap Gaming is our new fantasy football outlet. Murph put up a free article yesterday, basically highlighting what he would do in a mock, or what he did in a mock draft. So he went through a mock fantasy draft. He sort of showed how drafts are going. So if you're curious about that, if you have a draft coming up this week, it is vital to get in on the action. SnowTap Gaming, patron. .com/SnowTapGaming. That is where we'll have all the information there. The big board's updated. You have Murph doing a mock draft. You have a lot of things happening. We want you to be a part of it. Join it today. It is $3.40 for the month. All right. So Aaron Rodgers had an interview with The Ringer where The Ringer had a unique idea. Kevin Clark, great writer there, had the idea to make him the commissioner for the day. So they gave Aaron Rodgers, basically said, hey, you're the commissioner. What would you do? And obviously went through a litany of things. I don't know where is most interesting. I think the biggest headline grab is the comments around the anthem, and we'll get to that. But I thought actually more interesting was adopting the NBA rules when it came to contracts and when it came to getting rid of the franchise tag and mid-level exceptions and veteran minimums and bird rights and all this stuff. And it's very interesting. I don't know if the NFL would ever sort of go to a NBA model, because usually you don't see team organizations or leagues tend to borrow from one another. They like to be their own thing. I do think the idea of a luxury tax is very interesting, from the fact of, you know, teams would break it and you know they would just get ahead of their skis. Like, I mean, couldn't you see the Dallas Cowboys are the obvious answer, but couldn't you see the Cowboys getting ahead of the luxury tax and other teams, you know, trying to make a splash? New York Jets, Oakland Raiders. I mean, there are a variety of teams where I'm like, oh yeah, they would definitely break the luxury tax and have to pay. And I think it'd be a very interesting way to do contracts and do the NBA or NFL. I think Rodgers has a point to that. I think it's really interesting, Rodgers' comments about, you know, sort of that there are no – people don't follow what they do in the offseason, and why is that? And I think that's I don't know whose fault that is. I think Rodgers kind of blames the owners there, but I think it's somewhat of the players, because I think there's not the pettiness that we see in the NBA. They're not the shit talking online. Every now and again, people like overreacted when Dez Bryant, you know, was squawking at his former team, but that really doesn't mean shit, right? Because it's your former team. It's like, if you have, let's say Aaron Rodgers like sends out a sort of subtweet about the Chicago Bears right before the game, or right before Minnesota, like on to one and on to the next, or after the Vikings game, but Rodgers doesn't even tweet during the season. So
it's kind of falls on, you know, I get what Rogers is saying, but it's like you have to be involved with social media. You have to be doing things like that. The reason that the NBA has more of a personality is because the players have made it into a soap opera. And off the court, I mean, on the court, it's, you know, there's not fights, it's not this, but you see a lot of just, you know, they are very open and honest about what's going on. I mean, there were players reacting to their, you know, 2K rating and saying how that was unjust. And now, granted, you've had guys make comments about their Madden rating, but it really doesn't matter. They really don't care. I think because the NFL has invoked such a professionalism that it's so uptight. It is so uptight, and we have so many people. NFL is right there with baseball when it comes to just being uptight, and I think that's part of the problem. They do not, the writers and the media and the radio hosts who yearn on Packer content or Cowboys content or Eagles content to sort of make their show, They don't like the sort of fun atmosphere of sort of doing it differently. It's sort of, you have to be professional. You have to be buttoned up. While the NBA sort of unbuttons two buttons and sort of lets it hang out and sort of has their chest hair showing, the NFL would never do that. I think that's what made the Eagles kind of a big story and what has kept them in sort of the, shall we say, marketplace, or however we want to put it. But the fact that the Eagles kind of had the dog mask, they kind of had this underdog mentality, they had personalities like Chris Long, Malcolm Jenkins, Lane Johnson, you know, Carson Wentz was a thing for a little while. So they had guys who were very outspoken and in the media, and I think that helped sort of vault the Eagles. But also, too, we're talking, going to that personality thing, I think when you have teams like the Patriots where they're just so cream cheese, they're so vanilla, and it's partly because of Bill Belichick, it's partly because of Robert Kraft, and they just don't let their personality show. They have them, but they cringe when Gronk says things, and Gronk's annoyed the franchise. I mean, Gronk nearly got traded this year, and Tom Brady then forced Gronk to stay and said, I'd retire if you get rid of him. So what does that say about a personality type? We freaked out that Jimmy G went on a date with a porn star. If an NBA guy, you know, went out with Tiana Trump, I think there would just be memes and people would be going crazy about it, saying we need to see the sex tape. That would be how so you get it, right? You get the juxtaposition of what's going on here. And I think that is that's the problem. It's that the NFL is too uptight. And so Rodgers, while I appreciate what he's trying to say, he doesn't understand that the league in general is not kind of letting its freak flag fly. And maybe that's a little intense, but it's like the NBA just does not have essentially rules. The only time really where it was kind of like, hey, you got to settle down, was when like Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma were like trading barbs over raps. Like, and you think about how ridiculous that comment is, right? And the other thing too is like, and maybe it's hard because it's, there's not as many players, and it's there, you know, but the NFL, you know, and Rodgers mentioned getting in trouble, but it's like, guys get in trouble all the time in the NFL, and it doesn't seem to really happen in the NBA. The NBA somehow, they stay out of trouble. I mean, and I think that adds to it. I think that does add to it. I don't think there hasn't been a Ray Rice of the NBA. There hasn't been a Greg Hardy. There haven't been these sort of fundamentally hard decisions that people have to make. Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, Bill Simmons and Matthew Berry talked about it on their podcast yesterday about how cheering for Zeke Elliott's tough on a fantasy team. And it's like, I don't know if you have that with the NBA. I mean, maybe DeMarcus Cousins, but DeMarcus Cousins hasn't done anything with Zeke. He's just an asshole and he's not a great teammate. That's it. So that's part of that problem. So I get that Rodgers is, you know, trying to enhance the brand and grow it, but he kind of needs to look in the mirror at the NFL. It's the NFL's fault that there are no personalities. And then just real quickly about the comments on the anthem, I thought were absolutely perfect. I thought what Rogers said about, you know what, if it's going to be a thing where we all are standing, then everybody, the cameraman, the announcers, the concessions, everything is stopped for the national anthem. Everybody is standing. I think that was very, A, well said, but B, spot on. And also, too, it's not about the troops. It's not about this. I think it's 100% correct. And I think there needs to be more of that understanding that it is a group effort from everyone in the stadium. And now we'll see tonight if there are any sort of national anthem things with the first round of preseason games. We'll obviously recap that a little bit tomorrow on the Daily Tap. All right. More of the game than protests. But if protests happen or there's a big, you know, a team doesn't stand out, obviously we'll talk about that too. All right. Another thing I wanted to talk about, I was really interested because I saw it also on the Ringer, getting a lot of pub today. Just shout out to Uncle Bill, but also on the Journal Sentinel was looking back at Brett Favre 10 years later. So Brett Favre 10 years ago was traded to the New York Jets. And I just am kind of curious why this is a big deal 10 years ago. Is it just because it is a round number and it was a crazy time and that some people may forget? You know, it's crazy to think about, but like, does a 23-year-old really remember what it was like when Brett Favre left? And so maybe I should go down memory lane. Maybe I'm not remembering. And that's what I thought about when I'm like thinking about this as a topic. I was like, well, what was it like? And so I kind of take you back to when Brett Favre retired. I was writing snowtap.blogspot.com. Exciting. I'm Blogger. You can still find it. But I wrote an article about Favre and just sort of, this must be how it felt when you were, when it was a Chicago fan when Michael Jordan left, or when Larry Bird left, or Dan Marino, John Elway. I used all these examples. I remember tearing up as I'm writing this. His press conference was behind me. I was in the student union at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. I believe I had a class. I don't know. I might have had a class either after, or I was coming home and I was like, this can't wait. I have to blog this. And then it was then, and I was a freshman in college at the time. So then Favre then, you know, unretires, that whole situation that summer. I love that, and I will never let people forget that I was on the side of Aaron Rodgers, and that Aaron was going to be the answer, and that Brett Favre was not a good thing for the Packers to go to Brett Favre. And Ted Thompson made arguably one of the most important decisions in Packer history, and why I think Ted Thompson is a Packer Hall of Famer, but you would argue maybe even an, I don't know if he's an NFL Hall of Famer, but he definitely is a Packer Hall of Famer, because he decided not to succumb to Brett Favre. And he traded away Brett Favre. And I remember I was with friends, and I remember that half of us were on the side of Brett Favre, and the other half of us were on the side of Aaron Rodgers, and it was this Favre versus Rodgers debate, and we were yelling, and it was so contentious. And then Favre does this softball interview with Greta Van Susteren. I remember being at the same house, we call it the clubhouse, my shout out to my buddy Doze, and just, and watching this, and people were like, how could you let Brett Favre go? Aaron Rodgers getting booed on family night. I mean, it was an unbelievable. I mean, talk about a time where social media was a thing, right? But it wasn't to where it is today. Imagine if social media was where it is today. I mean, it would have been, the takes would have been unbelievable, first of all. And just how people would have reacted to this would have been crazy. So I guess that is why it is a sort of a 10-year look back, because there might be people who just don't remember how crazy those 3 weeks were. And I do feel good on being the other side of history. I will say Favre's Viking year was probably the hardest as a sports fan, just living in Eau Claire and dealing with so many Vikings fans and seeing Favre number 4 jerseys in Viking purple. I mean, that was crazy. Again, that is another one where social media was starting to cook a little bit. I was on Twitter, I think, by that time. But, man, oh, man, if social media, I mean, that would have also been equally crazy that Favre spent an off year in New York just to go play and be vindictive and play for the Vikings for 2 years. And that shouldn't be forgotten. I've forgiven Brett Favre for that. But still, that was quite a move. All right. Wrapping it up with the Brewers, I do want to point out that the Brewers are going through quite a power surge with this new lineup at Miller Park. If you look at the last, really since the last homestand, right? So starting, and they're trying to win today to go 4-2 against San Diego and Colorado. Hopefully they get it done. We know how bad they've been against day games. I was thinking about this yesterday. So Brewers have the best record in the second game of a series, and they also have one of the worst records in day games. You know how much money could have been made this year on the Brewers if you just bet the Brewer money line when they were playing during the day, the second game of the series? You bet the money line for the second game of the series, and then you bet against the Brewers on any day game, and you'd be profitable. You'd be up 21. I think the Brewers are either 22 or 21 games under 500 in day games. I mean, it's fucking wild. So, but back to the sort of the power surge, the Brewers are hitting home runs. I mean, they've hit a home run, I think, in their last six games. Maybe it's been six, I think, since the Brewers have hit home runs. And they're hitting them multiple. I mean, they had 5 last night. They had a couple on, they had two on Tuesday night. So the Brewers are showing what this offense can do. And yeah, they only got 5 runs on Thursday night, but they've had a couple games here now with 5 plus with, Tuesday night, Saturday, and Wednesday. Granted, they did lose on Tuesday, which was a very disappointing loss for the Brewers. But last night was good. I mean, the starting pitching has not been strong of late, which I think gives people some pause. But, you know, I think it's going to ebb and flow. I think you're going to have games and series where the starting pitching is just not going to be there. And this is one where I think they're not hitting their spots. They're not doing what they need to do. Bullpen was good last night. Soria did give up a double that was ended up charging to Chacin for another run. Junior Guerra goes this afternoon. We'll see if the Brewers can get it done. You'd like to win this one. Head in to Atlanta for a big road trip with the Braves and the Cubs. So the Brewers have 5 with the Braves and the Cubs. 3 in Atlanta and then 2 in Chicago next weekend. Brewers, if they can win 2 out of 3 in Atlanta, can really separate themselves from the Braves in the wild card race and then get a chance at the Cubs. They'd be 1 game back. Cubs have a tough series with the Nationals this weekend. The Nationals are playing better baseball of late. Bryce Harper has been red hot. He homered last night too. So not an easy task for the Cubs at all. And so maybe the Brewers will have a chance to overtake the Cubs for the division right around next week, which will be a great birthday gift for me as I will be turning 30 next Wednesday. We also have the 300th Tabbing the Keg to look forward to. And like I said, if this is your first time visiting us, thank you for listening. We are the Daily Tap. We are every day an alternative source for sports. You get it in 20 minutes or less. And it's a great podcast. We enjoy it. Subscribe if you like what you're hearing. If not, come back tomorrow. Visit us on Snowtap WI. It will be there. So look forward to talking to you guys again tomorrow. Talk about the Brewers road trip. See what we saw in Packer preseason. And then anything else that piques interest. Maybe why no one cares about the PGA Championship this weekend. All right, guys. Take care of yourself. Have a good one. Bye.